A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you're coming to me?" Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So I hope, do you remember the day of your baptism or the day your child was baptized? I was thinking as I looked out at the diversity of people. Here we have the golden row up front, and we even have kids all the way in the back and all throughout. I'm saying one thing we all have in common, one, we're human beings, but we're baptized. Like if I were to ask you the trick question, what's one thing everybody in this room has in common? I think baptism, right? And what's one thing we all have in common with Jesus? Baptism. That's what we're meditating on today, and it's important. It's so important that also all of the gospel writers include this story, and even Paul in this, or Peter in the second reading, when he's explaining Jesus' life at the beginning of his reading, his letter, he goes back to the baptism. It's like all these things that Jesus did, it began there. And then he closes it. God was with him. Like the summary of Jesus, I don't know, you can say whatever you want. But all I can tell you is God was with this guy. I mean, look at everything. All told from a distance, 40, 50 years later, I'm just saying God was with him. Like that's the summary. And it started at the baptism. So I want to talk about baptism briefly. And there's really two things I want to highlight. And they're kind of abstract, you know, important because they're universal principle, but important for their practicality. So identity and mission, those are the two elements that are revealed in the baptism of Jesus and that are in your baptism, your identity and your mission. So John's baptism was for repentance. Now, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, was about out baptizing. We know that not just from the Gospels, there's other secondary texts that refer to it. Josephus and others talk about this John who was baptizing. And it was one of repentance. He was calling all people to repent, to examine their lives, to kind of examine, repent before God, and do this public gesture of going into the water, right? And he was preaching, hey, someone's coming after me that's going to do something similar, but even greater. He's preaching to open hearts, etc. And Jesus comes to submit himself to this baptism. And you could ask yourself, why Jesus, who's sinless, does that? Why does Jesus get baptized? He doesn't need it. Why does he go down into the waters? Why does he get in line? Even John resists him. Hey, whoa. You should be baptizing me. Like, he doesn't even want to do it. And Jesus, no. This is the right thing to do. This is the right thing. Two answers to that. Why does Jesus get baptism? First, he doesn't do it to be sanctified by the waters. He doesn't need to be forgiven. He does it to sanctify the waters. The Creator, God, steps into creation, into our reality, to transform it so it's a path of sanctification to get back to him. He comes to redeem it, not to be redeemed by it. Right? That's different from us. He does the same gesture of baptism, but not to be sanctified by it or changed or forgiven, but to give it the power to save. He's already beginning his mission. Remember I said identity and mission? He's beginning his mission. I'm going to be the Savior, and it starts at my baptism. I'm going to go in, and I'm going to set these waters on fire so they transform anyone else after me through the church that gets baptized. So when Jesus enters the Jordan, he consecrates the waters for all time. Now you could say those aren't the same waters, but the symbol, this gesture, when man steps in, obeys kind of this rite that I go through, This is what it's going to be, sanctifying and powerful and transformative. He commits, when you make this gesture of humility and undergo baptism, express your repentance, your desire to belong to his family and his church, Jesus commits with this gesture in God and says, I'll receive it. I'll make you part of the family. I'll bring you in as a beloved child. Second reason Jesus goes into the waters, to start his public ministry, to begin his mission, to kick it off, to take over the reins from John, who was preparing for him, to say, okay, John, your work's done. Let me take over from here. His mission to heal, to transform, that mission that was explained by Isaiah in the first reading, he starts that. So, and at the very beginning of this mission, God the Father speaks. It's only a few times in the scriptures where God speaks over Jesus, his baptism, and then the transfiguration. And he says the same thing. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. He backs up Jesus' mission. Hey, this guy was going out. My beloved son, listen to him. And in that, we see the identity of Jesus. This is my beloved son. He's mine. I'm sending him. Like Peter said in the second reading. I don't know. But this man, he was with God. That's who Jesus was. He steps publicly into his mission, steps into his identity, a beloved son of God. That's where his mission starts. What about us, our baptism? When we enter the waters, when we're baptized, like all of us did, we're not sanctifying those waters. We are sanctified by those waters. We publicly express, I want to belong to your family, God. I repent, and we do it for the children when they're babies. We want this child that you've gifted to us to belong to you. We bring that child to you. We express, we're sorry. We want to live in this family. Receive this gift that you've given to us. And God says, I accept that child. That child that I created, I gave life to, bring him into the family. Because as we've said before, God can do a lot. But something he can't do, which is, can't get into your heart unless you let me in. Can't bring you into the family unless you want to come into the family. Can't force my love on you. Right? So baptism is that first gesture, like, yes, Lord, we want that. And the Lord says, yes, I want that too, and I gift it to you. We become children of God. Our identity, we're created, we're made in God's image, that's a given, but then we step into the family of God and receive his life within us. Not just natural life, not just physical life that he gifts us, but spiritual life, union with him and grace. And then, not only do we get that identity as God's children, then we get a mission. You're mine, and I'm sending you into the world to do what I did. Right? You have a purpose. You belong. Right? I remember, and around my family, and I've said this before, that there was, my father would sometimes say, hey, you're a Hadoo. Which, like, whatever. Like, no one else knew what that meant. Right? But in a sense, he was saying, hey, there, you've got a standard that's expected of you. You're part of this family. You've got a mission to uphold. You are that. Like, that's who you are. You're my son. You're our child. You're a member of this family. And that comes with a mission. There's an expectation here. When you walk out, when you go to school, etc., you're that. So live up to that mission. And in the same way, you're a Christian. You're part of the family. You want to be, I've received you. Now live up to that. I give you the grace to do that. It's an invitation. It's not like a, oh no. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. I got to be like my older brothers. I got to step into this. I can't let it down, remember? I've said this, and forgive me, children, parents, you can adjust this for your kids. But one, I don't know if it was a good lesson, but my dad said, hey, you can't fight with anybody. Only thing you can fight is they talk bad about your mother. Then you can fight. That was what I was like, oh, wow, we can defend. If there's something to defend, then you can step into that. And I remember my older brothers on the playground, they would like say, tell them to say something about our mom. Heck, we could start. Maybe not the best application, but there was a value behind that was helpful. Like, hey, you belong to it, so live it. defend it, want it, step into it, be it. It's a mission. It's an invitation. That's what Jesus received at his baptism, what he gives to us in our baptism. An identity, you belong, you're my beloved son, you're mine. And, hey, go be what you are in the world. Last thing that I will say around this is, just like Jesus steps into the waters and makes them holy, and then they become holy for us, I believe we have that same vocation in the world. We don't go out into the world, into our jobs, into the situations, into circumstances, fearful in that those things are going to change us and make us like the world. We go into those circumstances emboldened and confident. No, no, no. I'm going to turn those places into the kingdom of God. I step in with this dignity, with this vocation, with this identity, with this mission, like Jesus. I step into the Holy Land and I make it holy. It wasn't the Holy Land until after Jesus lived there. Sure, it was blessed land, God's chosen people, etc. We call it the Holy Land because Jesus made it holy. Your lives, where you move, where I move, becomes holy because I bring God into it. I don't go into the world fearful that it's going to change me. I go into the world to change it for Christ. I'm salt. I'm light. So the darkness is what flees when the light comes in. The salt comes in and changes that food, makes it tasty, makes it desirable, makes it preserved. So we step into the world like Jesus steps in, we transform it. And so the invitation then, through our baptism, one, celebrate it. That could be a good homework. What is your baptismal day? Do you know it? And celebrate it. Just like your birthday. Celebrate it. Put it on the calendar. Have an extra dessert. Everybody should, parents should, hey, that's your birthday. It's when you started in the life of the church. Celebrate it. And then be about it. Transform the world. Be light. Be salt. Be like Jesus. Go into the world to change it for Christ. Amen.